Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Vonna Pfeiffer.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for, I think we'll be fine artists today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, we'll be fine artists. And sponsored by Sassy Jacks. So here's a word from Kim.
This edition of Fiber Talk is proudly sponsored by Sassy Jacks Stitchery. Sassy Jacks is a vibrant young needle workshop located on the picturesque Main Street of Weaverville, North Carolina. Sassy Jacks shares a beautifully renovated historic building with Five Little Monkeys Quilt Shop. This year, we are happy to welcome you to a fantastic new classroom venue above our two shops. The classroom is well equipped with two large audiovisual screens, excellent new lighting, and seminar table seating. This beautifully renovated historic building even boasts the only elevator in town. We are proud to welcome Beth Still of Summerhouse Stitchworks August 2nd and 3rd. Beth always brings a beautiful project with some fun and easy finishing tips. And if you can't make it to the Summerhouse Stitchworks class in August, or even if you can, we're super excited to invite you to our first ever September Soiree Stitch Retreat, September 19th through 22nd. The September Soiree Stitch Retreat features just us and your whips. No class fees, no new projects, just some fabulous food, friends, and a little sassiness from your favorite shop. This retreat will be a fun little escape with time to catch up on all those other projects you've gathered during the year. We hope you find a way to come visit us soon. If you can't make it to us, then visit us on Facebook or Instagram. We love it when you stop by and say hi, whether it's in person or online. We truly appreciate you. And we really appreciate all the good things we hear and learn from Fiber Talk. We are super proud to be a sponsor of this wonderful resource of stitching goodness. Thank you, Fiber Talk, for giving us some stabby pokey talk twice a week. Kim and team at Sassy Jack Stitchery.
Thanks, Kim. And thanks to Sassy Jacks for sponsoring us. Really appreciated.
Yes, definitely.
And of course, now we have a sponsorship, but then we're going to spend half the show talking about my trip to Sassy Jacks. So basically, this show about Sassy Jacks, sponsored by Sassy Jacks, is how that's going to work.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear about your trip to Sassy Jacks.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Getting there wasn't so fun, but the rest of it was. And then for those who have not listened to Sunday's show with Jacob DeGroff,
Yeah, awesome, huh? Yeah, definitely.
Yep. And 20% off on all of the Modern Folk Embroidery designs, actually all of his products. So he said all of his products, so that means his CD too.
Yep.
And the coupon is Fiber Talk. And I put in the thing for Sunday, because he spelled it the European way, F-I-B-R-E-T-A-L-K. And so I put in there to mind the spelling, but then he wrote to me, this is Monday we're recording, he wrote to me that he also put in, so it works either way. So you can do Fiber Talk E-R or Fiber Talk R-E, and it'll work either way. So...
Awesome.
Good stuff. Yep. Yeah. I've got a couple of his charts now. Agnes Day is, that's sitting at the top of the heap. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I like that one too. Agnes Day. I almost started it the other day and then I remembered, oh, wait a minute. We're going to start the Queen sampler.
We are. We are. Oh, and by the way, folks, Vonna's in Ohio in a hotel room, and so there might be little breaks in her transmission. And I've got 3 trips in 10 days, and I don't have the 3 hours to sit down and clean them out. So you're just going to have to listen over those little breaks. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, we're on the Mom's Gone Wild 3-day trip.
Yeah, Mom's Gone Wild sitting in a hotel room stitching. Yeah, you guys are fun.
Right. That's right. And they said, whenever my friends, Christy Goldsmith and Renee Herman, are the ones that I'm meeting here and or have met here, and we're in our middle of our Mom's Gone Wild stitching retreat. And they said today, when I said, I have to go do a Fiber Talk with Gary, and they go, could we sit in the room and just listen? We promise we won't laugh. And I said, no, you can't. So, sorry.
Yeah, that could be distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the burning question. Now, this is the question on the minds of many. Are your butt cheeks okay?
Setting wise, no, they're a little sore right now because I've just had one myself. I've just sat in a seat for the last 24 hours, not just stitching. That's it. But no, as far as the vitamin butt shots, I'm thinking that they feel awesome. I think they're making me feel awesome, to be honest with you.
Really? So yeah, noticeable improvement, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
I do. I really do. And I think that, you know, the reason why she's doing these vitamins, my doctor is trying this out on me, is that, you know,
I can't tell you how many people at the Sassy Jacks mentioned your butt cheeks.
What's happening is I'm in the middle of trying to lose weight and do, you know, all of that. And she thinks that I've been like on a plateau for several weeks. I mean, like probably a couple of months, and I'm walking and doing all this stuff. And so my doctor says she wants to try these vitamins to see if that revs my metabolism. And I want you to all know that I've finally broken my plateau. So awesome. All right. Yeah, finally. And I think it's the vitamins that I really do think it is the vitamins that are doing it. So anyways, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But yeah. So,
well, that, you know, in all seriousness, it is of interest because, you know, that if shots, vitamin shots, wherever you get them, can rev you up a little bit, you know, get your metabolism going. There's, you know, there's something to be said for that. So,
yeah, I think she's on to something. It's also like, I understand that like some of the like celebrities out, you know, celebrities like out in California, that's like one of these, they do these series of shots. And, I understand they do it for like healthy skin and all that stuff, nails and all that stuff, and also for weight loss, I guess. And I think I have noticed my skin is more luminous and stuff like that. So I think I've noticed that. Even my friends that I'm here with said, "You just look glowing today." And I said, "Well, thank you. It's my vitamin butt shots." So
it's a new product line, vitamin butt shots.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, shoot.
Okay, I think we'll move on from that part of your anatomy.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we will just move right on to something else. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, shoot.
So we went to the Sassy Jacks for the Bathaya, Bathya is the Bathaya workshop. And of course, Mark and I split up the trip because we were going to make it easy on ourselves, 2 5-hour drives down. Well, both of them became, one was almost 10 plus, and the other easily 8 plus because of construction and accidents.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was just, we were glad we split it up because there's no way we would have had to stop anyway. But yeah, it was just endless. And that Indiana, you know, your state
is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Once you get off those stupid expressways, that I-65 all the way down, you know, can we just have one construction project or two?
Yeah.
Jeez, ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. It seems like Indiana, I don't know if it's like money driven. I'm certain it's probably money driven, but, yeah, it's always it's like that across the entire state. And see, in my city, Bloomington, they are building an interstate. So we've been
lovely.
Yeah, seriously. And so the little state highway that Bloomington is on, I-6, it's a Highway 37. So all the way to Indianapolis, they're trying to make this I-69, which is going to be the new corridor from north to south, basically.
Oh.
And even down to like, I think it's supposed to go down to Florida or something. And so they're building that in, you know, through right down, smack down the middle, down Bloomington. And we've had to deal with that for 4 years. So It used to take me what is like an hour drive from Bloomington to Indianapolis. It's better now since they're not doing much. Bloomington's done now, but I've had to deal with that taking Katie to college, you know, taking my kids to college for the last 3 years. And at one point when it was down to one lane, and think of IU ball games, football games, basketball games, Pacers games, all of those things, it would take me like, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours round trip to get up to Indianapolis and get back home. It was ridiculous. Awful.
Jeez.
So yeah. It's not over yet, because now that they're, you know, they're moving on and buying up land to complete I-69 all the way. So it's going to be, you know, another probably 5-6 years before it's all completely done. It's not nice, though. Where it's done at, it's nice. But it's a pain in the neck. Yeah. So I understand your pain.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago area has always got construction. But, well, you guys just, it got annoying. It got annoying. So anyway, we make our way finally to Weaverville. And the workshop, now I have not attended many classes or workshops because I just teach myself. So, but the ones that I have participated in, you work on the project at hand. So, you know, whatever the goal of it is, whatever the project is, that's what you stitch on. But with Nicola, you don't do that. She actually put together a book that is Bethiah the Workshop. And so for 2 days, what we did, and she also some videos that, you know, are available to workshop participants, that basically for 2 days, it was, here's how to do the various stitches that are used in the Bethiah sampler. Because it is a challenging sampler. I will say right up front, no bones about it. It's a challenging sampler. There's a lot going on in that thing, and it's reversible. So this was my first exposure to reversible stitching.
Yeah.
And so you work off of a doodle cloth. You get a kit with a little card with some silk threads, and a piece of linen 12x12 or so, and this book. And then you work, the entire thing is done on a doodle cloth. You don't, the kit comes with the class, the kit for Bethiah, with all the threads and the linen and the book and the whole thing. But basically, except for one thing, I never really needed to get into that box of stuff for 2 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you literally, if you were able to keep up with her, and she crammed a lot into 2 days, you literally would not have even bothered to open the box with the sampler materials in it because there was no need for it. Mm-hmm. It was all done on this doodle cloth with the booklet she put together and then the videos and then her instruction. Mm-hmm. And so that was different, but it also, particularly in this instance with Bethiah, really demonstrates the value of using a doodle cloth. As a place to practice and a place to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first, you know, the first question when somebody hands you a piece of linen and you're going to stitch is, where do I start?
Right.
It doesn't matter. Just put it in your hoop and just start stitching wherever you're comfortable.
Right.
Because you're just going to do motifs to learn these stitches. Mm-hmm. And so it was no point in, you know, I don't have to count down 3 inches and over 3 inches and start here. No, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's just a scratch pad is what it is.
Right.
And so it was really, and I think I said beforehand, I had originally no intention of participating in the class. I was just going to be there, monitor, see what people did, talk to the people, so on and so forth. But then when she did this video ahead of time of what to bring to class and what was going to be learned, then that's when, for me, it was, oh, then I got to change. I got to participate in this thing. I got to sit there because I got to learn these things. And, boy, it was a good challenge. It was a good challenge. These the various stitches, what do we do here? We had the four-sided stitch, satin stitched alphabets, which, you think, oh, big deal. You satin stitched alphabets, but you're doing it reversibly.
Yeah.
And so that changes the game. And it's easy, still easy to satin stitch. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. that's not tough. But you have to plan a path.
Right.
Right. You can't just.
I'm just laughing at the satin stitch. That's not tough.
Well, it's not.
I know, but it might be for me. I don't know.
No,
but anyways, not. But you have to do your placement of your needle. That's what. So you have to think about where you're going to place, where that needle's going to come and where that thread's going to lay, right?
Right. And where you're going to go.
Right.
Because, for instance, with the letters, there are they're serifed letters, which means they have the little ends on them. In type, they have little ends on them. So those all have to be stitched. So you have to plan how you're going to go so that when there's supposed to be gaps, there's gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Front and back.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have that little voice in your head the entire time reminding you the back's got to look like the front.
Right.
And more than once, I had to pull things out because I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And she teaches with satin stitch. I think we're in 36 count fabric. I was going to look that up and forgot. That you stitch with one strand and then you go over it a second time to make sure it's filled in. And then if you hit thick threads in the sampler, in the linen, thicker mm-hmm. threads, then
yeah.
you do a diagonal stitch across that and then do your satin stitches over that. And then that covers up that thicker thread, which that's a good little trick just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we learned that, but then where I made my mistakes, we won't count mistakes. Where I made a mistake was I would go back and say, oh, that there's too much gap between these two threads. I'm going to go back and do a stitch in between that to fill it in.
Yeah.
And then I got all done and realized, yeah, nice move, Slick. You went back and did that. So now you have this big old diagonal on the back side.
Yeah.
Yeah, forgot. So tear it out and redo it.
Right.
Or as Nicholas said, and I thought this was brilliant, leave those mistakes on your doodle cloth so that when you're stitching on the actual sampler, it will remind you not to do it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I thought that was pretty brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a mess. Don't do that ever again. but yeah, it was really good. 'Cause we did satin stitch part one and two, 'cause she showed us how to do it. There's a W in the thing. So that required some different path work. And sitting down with a piece of paper and then mapping out how you're going to stitch that letter. Because she with the stitching with one strand and then going back, what she would do is send you through a path. And so that like the base lines, the main lines of a letter, you would stitch one time until you got all the way to the end. And then you would come back and that would be your second pass, see? And fill it in. So and that way, actually using that technique made it a lot easier to develop a path,
mm-hmm.
a stitching path. So that was educational. And then we did the four-sided stitch, which is really easy to do as long as you follow the path you're supposed to. Because mm-hmm. if you do it right, then on the back side you have two lines of basically back stitch.
Mm-hmm.
but if you do it wrong. Yeah, that those two clean lines go away.
Yeah.
And then stem stitch, which is not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. Double back stitch, reversible cross stitch, double-sided Italian cross stitch, alternating back double back stitch. All of those. And then the one that stopped me, you know, eyelet stitch was another one, which I never thought that was that hard. The one that stopped me, detached buttonhole filling stitch.
Detached buttonhole filling stitch.
Because and that's kind of the standard stitch for a stump work. because it you stitch it and then it's not actually attached to the ground cloth. And here's where I hear, you know, people are probably getting tired of hearing about this, but I want to share this because I learned things. Here's where I had trouble, and I had trouble several places. Is, you know, I'm by self-training and by training, I'm a needle pointer. Right. And I learned working on that stiff canvas where you can take a thread and you can yank it pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And like when you do satin stitch, I want my satin stitches tight and flat. And and I'll sit there with a laying tool and I'll pull on them because I want them tight and flat and smooth as can be. Well, do that on linen, you collapse the threads.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was having a heck of a time with satin stitch on linen because I kept collapsing the threads because I was doing it too tight. I had to actually stitch what in my mind was really loose and puffy so that I didn't collapse the threads. And that was tough. That was tough for me to do that because to me that was sloppy satin stitching.
Yeah.
But it's the only way it works.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a real challenge. And then when I got to the detached buttonhole, I could not make myself stitch loose enough to have. Yeah, it kept pulling too tight. And I kept having, I have four starts on my doodle cloth.
And they're all that thick?
They're all too tight. Oh, and finally, I couldn't make it behave. And then so finally, at the end of the day, the second day, I think Nicola could see out of the corner of my eye. I was getting frustrated. But because I stayed after people had left because we did videos. And there's four videos coming up here in the next few weeks with Nicola that everybody who's at all interested wants to see guaranteed that I did. So we were going to do some videos after the second day. And I sat there after everybody left because I was determined to get this thing. And she finally came over and stitched it on my doodle cloth so I could see how loose it needed to be, order to get the right look. And oh boy, that was really tough for me. And that stitch stopped me. That one was one now that I'm going to spend considerable time learning how to do that right. Because that's in the Queen sampler somewhere.
And, gosh.
So start practicing, Vanna. Start practicing. Yeah. But it was that one stopped me because it's so much looser than I can even relate to. But once you get, it's like everything. Once you get the tension right, then it, like, she stitched three rows, just bang, bang, bang. And it was nothing. And I could see that once I lighten up and figure out how tight to make that or how loose to make it, basically, and she says looser is better anyway, that'll go very fast. So that was my biggest lesson, I think, is that I've got to lighten up on the tension on linen in general. And I knew that because doing Sarah Brazier, I've been learning as I go, and I'm going to be frustrated at the end because I'm going to see that the X's in Sarah Brazier from a third all the way down are going to be better and lay better because I'm working on getting a looser tension.
But I always think, your stitching looks beautiful. It doesn't look too tight to me.
Well, thanks for that. But I'm trying to get it so I don't collapse those linen threads because I get going and I get tight. It gets tight. So I gotta, I'm really working on that. That's an excellent test for me is to, adjust the tension. And then when I go back to needlepoint, go back the other way. So that's, it's a nice little personal challenge. Can I develop enough tension range to accommodate different ground cloths?
Right.
Yeah. So
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a good way to think about it.
Yeah, it's a nice challenge. So I think that's the one thing, other than just learning these stitches, the one thing that came out of it for me that is really going to pay off and stick with me is developing that range of tension. according to ground cloth, whatever the ground cloth is. So, but yeah, it was really good. And I'll tell you, the thing that really struck me is, you know, if you go to these classes, invariably there's just this kind of this, even when people are just stitching, kind of an ongoing low drone of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
There were more than one moment in that class where it was dead silent.
Yeah.
Everybody was focused on stitching and getting the stitches right. And mm-hmm. You could tell it was a challenge for everyone. Cause I mean, it just went dead quiet more than once.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot of experienced stitchers there. I mean, it was 30 of us in the class and a great, and hi to everybody who listens. Cause I really enjoyed the time. Great, great group of people, great ladies, really some great conversation and just a lot of talent in that room, a lot of talent, mm-hmm. a lot of experience. It was pretty neat just to be amongst a group of people that can stitch like that.
Yeah. You did have a particular, I knew several of the people have met several, knew several of the people that were in your class, and you did have a hugely amount of talented people and stitchers in your class.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was apparent that you did. So.
Yeah. It was almost intimidating. I mean, you could just feel it. You could see it and feel it. These people knew, they know what they're doing. And,
mm-hmm.
But even so, Nicola made him go quiet.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
That's something. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a beautiful sampler.
Oh, it is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. One day I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it finished because it is beautiful, and I'm stitching it reversibly because the challenge is there. You know, it's just there.
Right.
And
that's just right up your alley.
Yeah, yeah. So it was excellent class. And the Bathia model was there. And Kim Young of Sassy Jacks had that framed. It was all framed. So it was framed reversibly, so you could see both sides.
Uh-huh.
So you could turn it over, and it's just beautiful on both sides. It really was an experience to see that finished and framed like that, and then to be working on the stitches that will make that up. And it's one of those in my opinion, one of a kind, not unlike her MH, whatever the year is. Another reversible sampler where it just some really good challenges and a beautiful result when you get it all done. And, that was, and, you know, I would just say even if you aren't interested in samplers, if you are a cross stitcher or just like to stitch, you know, whatever, Nicola's classes, really, I think well done. I really do. I love the approach of just working on doodle cloth. So you don't feel the pressure of getting exactly right because this is going to be the sampler finish, you know, ultimately be the finished sampler. You just don't care. So you can relax and learn on the doodle cloth how to do these different stitches and how to get them right. And it really, because people tend to be hesitant to use the doodle cloth. And because, well, but I want to work on the project. But you really come to appreciate the power and value of that approach. And I'm sure when I do Bathia, and I know for a fact when we do the Queen Sampler, that the doodle cloth that I have for both of those, and I will have one, is going to get worn out because I'm just going to do a lot of practicing on it.
Mine will probably have a lot of blood and tears on it.
Oh, that warms my heart.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Probably will.
But it just really, you know, it really, when people say use a doodle cloth, learn it on, you know, and people go, yeah, whatever. I'm working on my sampler or I'm working on my embroidery or whatever. No, use it. It's a scratch pad. You can,
Yeah. I can see the value in that. Like, you know, what you said with that, whatever, crossover buttonhole.
The detached buttonhole stitch, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I can, you know, if you saw Nicola do like three rows really quickly, well, then that shows, you know, I can see the value in that. You're not ripping out and ruining, you know, the holes or whatever on your real linen, you can just do it on something that you don't care about. And then, right. you know, build up your confidence. And then that way you can go in strong and confident on your real piece. I never even thought about a doodle cloth until I watched that video of Nicola's. So, but I imagine that Nicola, how could she be anything less than a stunning teacher when, I mean, just looking at Nicola, you can tell that she would be, and I don't mean that in any way, you know, she's just classy. You know what I mean? Just classy, a class act. You can tell that she's just very intelligent and loves the, you know, stitching and every aspect of stitching. So I imagine that that was just, yeah, how could, I was thinking about when I would read all the, your entries, your posts about it. And, I saw several, I'm friends with several other of the people, and I've seen pictures and their comments about it. I tried to imagine what it would be like if I was there. And I just thought, you know, I'd probably just sit and stare at Nicola because she fascinates. I just love listening to Nicola. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thought I wouldn't even be able to like stitch. I'd just be sitting there staring at Nicola, and she'd probably get like creeped out because
I'm getting creeped out right now.
I just really think that she is just a class act. I really do. She fascinates me. Yeah. So anyways, I'm just so glad. I was just so, and I mean this only with a pure heart. I just was so glad for you that you were experiencing it and that you decided to like actually do it and not just be there for, you know, commentary and videos and stuff. I was so glad that you were doing that and that all the ladies just seemed to embrace and love you. And you're like Mr. Popularity now with everybody. And, you know, even though you were sitting in the bad boy seat in the back, I just think that that's just wonderful that you had such a great, I was just so happy for you that you were having such a great time because you could just tell that it was just a fabulous class. You could just see it on people's faces and, you know, in the videos and just how wonderful it was. I was just really just happy for you. Just did, because when you experience something like that, when you're just like in stitching nirvana, how could you not? I mean, that just makes me happy. And I have had that a few times in my life where I just like, oh, how could it be any better than this? And you know, I'm just so glad that you got to experience that too. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It was, you know, and you just reminded me, you know, I had said that I was going to do some live Facebook stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you just reminded me, I never did.
No, that's because you were so, and I was waiting for it. And I thought he is so wrapped up and having such a great time doing that. He's forgotten about that.
I literally did until just now. Yeah. This is Monday afternoon and we came home Saturday. Until just now, I completely forgot I was going to do that. I really did. I just got sucked right in and was completely engrossed in what we were doing. I completely forgot. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. That's okay.
Sorry.
You did videos, the videos that you did and Nicola did. And I mean, it was awesome. I just felt like if you're a follower of Fiber Talk and you were waiting for those videos, which I am a follower of Fiber Talk and I was waiting for the videos, I just truly just felt like I was almost there with you, except my credit card wasn't getting, you know, burning up for buying all the stuff. And I didn't get to like sit and stare at Nicola, but it was, I just felt like a real tangible excitement almost about it. And I was just so happy for you that you got to experience that. So,
well, thanks.
I'm just really glad.
And next year when you go, if you sit there and stare at her, I'm going to dump water on your head. Yeah.
I just can't. I hope I get to go next year because I really want
to. No, you're going. You got to go.
Yeah,
you
got
to go
because
the sampler she's doing, you got to go.
Oh, yeah. You told me that that was one that I need to go.
Oh, you're. I don't know. It's going to be right at the end of May, early June, I assume. So you got to go because you got to do that sampler.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I want to. I've already told the girls gone wild, mom's gone wild up here, that we're going to have to rethink our dates next year until I know what Sassy Jax is doing with Nicola's class. So
yeah, no, this the sampler. Yeah, the sampler that she has, and that's a whole story. That she has this little sampler that is, this is Vonna size, mm-hmm. Vonna size sampler.
Oh, great. It's a Vonna size sampler too. Awesome.
If it's a foot long, I'll be surprised by mm-hmm. probably 8 inches, 8 by 12, 8 by something like that.
Oh,
it's maybe a little bigger than that, but no, it's Vonna size. It's not Nicola size. It's Vonna size.
Awesome.
Okay, so this sampler is the coolest story, at least in my limited experience with samplers. This was the coolest experience. So Nicola, and we did a video. So I'm going to tell this story, and then we did a video. But in the video, you get to see the sampler. You don't get to see it with this. But I'm going to tell a story, because mm-hmm. I got to tell a story. So she had this sampler at home that she bought. And so she brought it with her. In a frame. It's in a frame.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost 400 years old. What we call 27 years short of 400 years old.
Wow.
This little sample that she bought. And she brought it because she and Kim were going to talk about what to do for the workshop for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought it was a cut sampler, meaning it was a bigger band sample. It's a band sampler, but that it had been cut off and framed. Oh. And so, therefore, mm-hmm. useful for a workshop, but, you know, in the bigger collection world, basically, you know, it's old and intact and in really good shape, so value there. But other than that, you know, so what?
Right.
So she brought this thing, and Kim's husband, Thursday night, there was go have dinner and then come back, and there was some show and tell for those who wanted to. And then there was a stitch-in, so you could keep stitching. And then several people had brought samplers and so on and so forth. And so she had this little sampler. And she took it downstairs, and Everett, Kim's husband, who, you know, I could see Kim and Nicola sitting there watching this, hearts going 100 miles an hour, and to Everett, it's something that just needs to come out of a frame. So,
right.
You know, so what? And so he uses his Leatherman multi-tool to take this 400-year sampler out of a frame. It's just out of freak, too. But, you know, whatever. It just needs to come out. So he took it out, and Nicola came back upstairs. And I'm not kidding. I think her feet were at least a foot off the ground, because
mm-hmm.
it was not a cut sampler. It was the whole deal.
Oh.
It was the real deal, the full sampler.
Wow.
Nailed to this board. Who knows how old the board is?
Uh-huh.
Nailed to this board, but she knew it was the full deal because the extra linen top and bottom, as she described, linen was so valuable that nobody would have ever left that much unstitched.
Oh.
So it's the full sampler. And wow. band sampler stitched edge to edge, because she said that's the way they were done, because nobody wanted to waste linen. Mm-hmm. So it went from this throwaway, and throwaway is not the right word, but, you know, of limited value workshop piece to this is the full deal.
Wow. But they just had a lot of linen left over.
Well, no, it was just like there was maybe not even an inch top and bottom that was wrapped over, you know, but she said there's no way you would have left that much unstitched as a band sampler, have a gap for that to the next band, you know, you jam those bands right next to each other.
Right.
And so this was the full deal. This is the full deal. Mm-hmm. And it's in beautiful shape for 400 years old. I mean,
right.
So, and you could tell just looking at it on the board, there at the top, it was kind of dark and grungy from the frame and or the board. There's mm-hmm. one spot in it that was a little dark and grungy. And then at the bottom, it was a little bit, but not too bad. But other than that, it was just old and dirty.
Uh-huh.
So then the next day, the shop, the frame shop in town, has a device for pulling out the nails without the, with minimal or no damage to the linen.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently when they went, so they wanted to take it off the board, got to see the backside. Yeah. So, right. Apparently when they went to take the nails out, the nails just disintegrated, which no surprise there, ancient metal.
Right.
Just, so anyway, they got the sampler off and Nicola came back the next day during class and she was flying again. So we got to see the backside of the sampler that had not seen the light of day for who knows how long.
Right.
And so then you get to see some of the colors that are not grunged up and dirty. Like there's a yellowish color, and I'm terrible with colors, but it's bright, you know, as bright as day, and you get to see the stitching from the backside, the whole bit.
Oh.
Yeah, so we got to do that. And then I did a video with Nicola afterwards where she talks about it, and we get to see both sides. So it's all in the video.
Mm.
And that was a treat, you know, because to me, that was the highlight, to get to see something, you know, that for the first time has been lifted off of the back of the board or whatever it's on. And so that was just really ultra cool.
Oh gosh, that almost gives me the chills just listening to that story.
It was the neatest experience to see that, because that's history. You know,
it's
really old history right there in front of you.
Right.
And
I agree. I mean, what do you say about that? That is history. 400 years ago. You know, that's something.
Yep. So. That was very, very neat. And then to be able to talk more about it with her and do the video, which will be up. We did four of them, so we had to plan it out. But that one will probably be the first one that I'll make available so that people can see. Because then that's going to be the sampler for the workshop for next year that she does.
Oh.
So this is why you have to go.
Yeah, I want to go now. Yeah. I really want to go now.
Yeah. And it was just the neatest experience to see that.
Yeah, I imagine that was very. Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's an irreplaceable memory that you'll never forget.
Right.
You know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, Nicola's so passionate. Well, she said that when she saw the backside, she actually filled up. You know, kind of got teary eyed because I mean, she's so passionate about these things that it just permeates the room, you know, the excitement she has for these things and the care she does for these samplers, you know, not unlike Jean Lee has the same kind of thing, you know, lives for them. And it's just exciting to be in a room like that. But she said she actually kind of teared up when she saw it because she got so excited. But it was just so special to see that. And it's a beautiful sampler. It's just beautiful. And I cannot wait to see, after the conservator gets done cleaning it up, you know, how it comes out once the, you know, 400 years of grunge is off of it, how it comes out. Cause this is probably just going to be amazing.
Right.
And then on top of it, to be able to stitch that and reproduce that, will be, you know, another absolute treat. So, exciting. Yeah. That was
awesome.
That was really neat. I mean, a great class, learned a lot, got challenged and all those things, but on top of it, got to experience that. And that was, you know, that probably won't ever happen again.
In your whole lifetime.
Right.
And then on top of all of that, you're the class sweetheart.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
That's what you say happened.
I would say that was, you are the class sweetheart. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you say. Mm-hmm. Okay. I really did have a great time. It was just a lot of fun. Back corner for me, you know, that's if people are in a class, leave that back corner, preferably the left corner, but this time I chose the right corner, but either way, back corner for me, that's where I sit. I can't,
that's where you sit.
Yep. I got to be on the end in the back corner. Creeps me out to be anywhere else. Yeah. I can't do it. So, end of the pew in church, back corner in the classroom. It's just the way it is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to be a back row girl next year too. I'll just sit right next to you in the back corner.
Well, yeah. And yeah, if you stare at her, so help me. If you stare at her,
you can just hit me with the ruler.
Oh, I will.
Or something. A wet needle. I don't know. Something.
I'll just jab you with a needle. Wake up, knock it off. Yeah. But she does. She does a really good job, and a really good job. Well, good teachers in general wander the room while people are doing the work, and make sure they help. But it was just really good, and the energy she has now. She's doing 3 2-day sessions there at Sassy Jack's, and then she's off to the attic for, I think it's 2 2-day sessions there. And I doubt there are any openings, but if you can get, well, this is Monday, so this goes up Wednesday, so she'll be on her road. But if you can get to the attic and there are openings, which there probably aren't, it's worth a call for a 2-day session. It's worth it, absolutely worth it to be in one of those classes. It really is. She does it well. She really does it well. She gives a rip. I mean, she really cares a lot, not gives a rip. She cares a lot. Not only about the samplers and the history, but also that everybody there has success and learns things and doesn't walk away frustrated. She really, you know, that's all there, which is any good teacher does that. But
yes.
It's all there. Every aspect of it is in the classroom. Well organized, well planned, the whole shooting match. It's, yeah, I enjoyed it. And I didn't do that. Last year I didn't do that because I just sat in the back corner stitching on Sarah Bray's ear and keeping an ear to what they were doing. So I didn't, you know, I wasn't right in it and experiencing it. So I knew how she went about her class, but this time, you know, I got into it. And the fact that I forgot now days later to do live Facebooks tells you how much I was into it. I completely forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Because you are like, really, honestly, you are Johnny on the spot with all of this stuff and you keep it your mind and your head and stuff. And so that's why I knew. And I almost texted you and said, hey, where's these Facebook feeds? And then I thought, no, I'm not going to say that. Because we did talk while you were there. And I almost said it one time and then I thought, nope, I'm not going to say anything because for once he is, thoroughly engrossed in doing something for Gary and not for everybody that listens to Fiber Talk. And I was happy for you for that. I knew that you were engrossed. I knew that you were engaged and that made me happy for you. So that meant it was a great class. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks. And it was, I can't believe just us talking here. I completely forgot that. Yeah. I was completely into it. Yep.
That's okay. You did a lot of that, like talking the setups with how everybody stitches and the tools that they use. I love that. I love that kind of stuff. And I think any passionate stitcher loves that kind of stuff because you always can pick up on something that might make your stitching experience or time maybe a little bit better, a little bit easier. And so I love watching that kind of thing, like, and finding out, oh, I need to try this or that or whatever. So I enjoyed that video that you did a lot, and that was a valuable, you know, resource.
Yeah, I think I cost people a lot of money doing that video. And what's our new hashtag? What's our new hashtag?
Yeah, bought it. Fiber, what was it? You said
Fiber Talk made me buy it. That's our new hashtag. Yeah,
Fiber Talk made me buy it. Yeah.
Yeah. So so folks, when you spend money, you just put that on there, and then it's okay. Yeah. When you get that look from your spouse, you just,
Fiber Talk
made me buy it. Sorry. Nothing I can do. It's the way it is. Yep. Yeah. But that was neat. Cause you're sitting in the back corner. What made me do that was I just looked up at one point and just kind of scanned the room. Look at all the different ways people have to hold their work in a classroom setting.
Right.
And there were so many. And then one, she took it, she either took it down because I did it during lunch. I did it or after the, I don't know when I did it, on the first day, who knows? But one lady was using the full roll of frame setup.
Yeah.
And, she was in the back row, and I did not see it. I meant to show it, and I think she took it down when I was not there when I did the video. I'm sure I would have shown it, but the full roller frame, like she had the table stand, lap stand, and the scroll frame, and you know how he has it. Well, you know how he has that all.
Yeah.
So it's so fully adjustable. Mm-hmm. And boy, that was to see that in action. That was really impressive.
Yeah, I have that. Did I tell you know that, right?
Right.
I have
the roller frame
lap stand, and I just have on order the medium floor stand. It's coming sometime soon because you know, like the lap stand only holds a certain length roller bar. And I think it's like 17 or 18 inches. That's all the wider that width, you know, it holds the width. And with like a Savior's Praise and, well, of course, Sarah Brazier. So I was getting ready to say, what's that other sampler we're stitching? Sarah Brazier, you know, she's on like a 29-inch roller and stuff. And I thought, I need something, you know, at that, we've talked about that before, the width of the length, you know, my goodness, it's like wrestling with something. And so I thought, I need that to just put my roller frame, my large roller frame things on. So it's on its way sometime soon. And it is fully adjustable. And it is, I love that lap stand. I use it a lot when I'm using my roller frames. And if it's in that size and it just fits, like people go, I don't think it would fit in my chair because, you know, I just set it right on, you know, it fits and it just, you're right. It's fully adjustable. You can just fix it however you want to. A lot of, I have a friend that uses one and she sets in bed.
Oh.
And she puts it like over her lap, like a, you know, those things that somebody would bring you breakfast on, you know, whatever right. those are. And that's how she sets it on. And she just like, you know, stitches on it like that. And it is, roller frame is a really great setup in my opinion. And, yeah. So, and if you use those clips on the side, you know, a lot of people say the tension, they can't get the tension right. Like the Omnic ones, you know, they say get it tighter on the sides and stuff. But if you do like the clips, like the mitten clips with the Velcro, like I showed on one of my floss tube videos, that is like fabulous. It really makes it a whole new experience then too. Yeah. So yeah, I love roller frames.
Yep.
A lot.
Well, that was impressive. I wish I'd have gotten that in the video, but yeah, well. But then yeah, the rest of them, and it was at the Elan? Oh no. I was going to write.
Yeah, it was the Elan Gazelle or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that their table stand. That one I called it out in the video. The two ladies each had one. That one appeals to me greatly. And then they showed me afterwards when they had it all packed up how it collapses down and bolts into itself and makes a really compact lap table stand, really good. And the fact that they'd both used them 25 plus years, and somebody said online she'd had one even longer and it was still functioning. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Cause my, as much as I like my Case Creation lap stand, one of the boards, the adjustable boards that up to the holder has a crack. Mm-hmm. It developed a crack and the crack got worse. And so now I'm going to have to get that board replaced. And which, you know, I haven't used it more than a dozen times. And so I was really disappointed in that. But I'm sure they'll replace it. You know, I'm not worried about it. I'm sure they'll replace the board. But still, that Elan design is very good. And I could tell they were quite comfortable sitting there. It was staying where it was supposed to. And they could adjust it where they wanted it. And that was a good one. And yeah, I mean, I went through several of them. Somebody mentioned, and I've tried to respond to him, but I cannot find where the comment was. But when it came to hoops, noticed that I had a Hardwick Manor hoop, which is all of my hoops are Hardwick Manors because they're just beautifully made.
Yeah.
And that I had a thicker one because it's 3/4 inch, is it? I don't know. But
yeah, that's close to almost an inch, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 3/4. I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's thicker. And somebody commented that they noticed that, and why did I have that? And someone else said that that's typical for, those are typically used by quilters. And yes, yeah, they are. But I bought those, the reason I bought that is I wrap my hoops in twill tape,
mm-hmm.
the Mary Corbett way. I wrap the mm-hmm. inside ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought those. I have two different sizes of the thicker hoop. And I did that intentionally because I feel like it holds. There's more surface area, more friction area. So I feel like it holds the linen tighter, longer. I feel like I'm able to get it tighter and it holds and stays there. I don't have to come back, you know, later on and loosen up and retighten.
Mm-hmm.
So by wrapping it and then using that thicker one, it just may be just my, you know, just me, but, uh-huh. I like that better. And, you know, people asked the same lady asked about holding it. Well, I don't hold my hoops. I put them in a stand. So mm-hmm. it's a non-issue for me, but, that's, right. so that's why I bought the thicker ones. I just feel like I get a better, tighter hold, around the entire circle. So that's what I use. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
you don't use a hoop that much, do you?
I don't use a hoop much, but the one hoop that I do use frequently is one of those. Oh gosh, now I'm gonna not think. It's like the queen or the king, princess hoops, and it has the felt on the inner ring.
Oh, okay, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And it's an antique, and I found it in a shop. And the felt ring is completely intact. There's no nothing. So if I'm going to use a hoop, that's what I use.
Yeah.
Duchess hoops are what they're called. No, I don't know.
I know what you mean.
I think it's Duchess.
The fact that you found one with the felt still intact, that's impressive. And it's.
Yeah, it's completely intact, and I use it. And I mean, only on, I'm not saying I don't like hoops, but I prefer like a scroll rod or a Q-snap over hoops because I have to hold a hoop and with the setups that I have at home. And I, like I said, I have that shoulder elbow wrist thing problems. I have to be very careful about it and it's just simply because I finish so much. So I don't typically use a hoop just because I get hand cramps and I don't like to stitch one handed. I like to stitch two handed. So
yeah, that's why I put them in a stand. I don't like to hand hold them.
I don't either.
Yeah. Somebody else hold my hoop. Thank you very much. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yep. So that's, there's the story of the trip to Sassy Jack's. Holy smokes. Oh, my word. I didn't even look at the clock. Yeah, we've been going for a while. Okay. It's an hour of me talking about Sassy Jacks. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. Yep. Sorry.
That's okay. I think it's good to, I mean, we've talked a lot about a lot of different things and I think that's, you know, people like to hear the, I wanted to hear all about it. I really did. And I certain, a lot of your followers will want to, you know, hear about it, your experience and just you relating it over an hour and not realizing it, that just again shows how wonderful it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just shows how great it really was. What a great 2 days it was.
It really
just glad for you.
You're going next year.
I hope so.
Clear the schedule. No, hope so. Clear the schedule.
I will clear the schedule. I'm going to go. I will go.
You'll enjoy it. And it's a great town too. It really is.
Yeah, it sounds from what I've seen of the pictures and what you have said, it reminds me in the town kind of, I mean, in a similar type venue of what I'm in right now. I'm in Berlin, Ohio. And as we've done this show, I have watched, it's an Amish town in Holmes County and it's, you know, right at 4:30 and the Amish people are getting off work and they're riding their bicycles home. And I've seen several buggies go home and it's just, I don't know. I just love, I've had a great time just sitting here listening to you talk about my favorite subject and watching the Amish people who you all know I love go home after a hard day's work. So,
yep. Yep.
There you go.
So Queen Sampler, I know your stuff got shipped to you, but there's a decent list of threads that Kim did not have that were on their way.
Mm-hmm.
So two shipments. She's shipping mine. So I brought half of them down. We're going to do this thing, but we're not, it's not a race. This is going to take a long time. This is going to take a long time.
No, if I ever complete it, it'll be a miracle probably. Honestly, I'm scared. I really am scared, Gary. I have bought that proper stitch. I bought that Amy Mittens
Montenegrin. Montenegrin.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So I bought that book, and I was looking through Darlene Osteen's proper stitch book, and you know what? I haven't been cross stitching right ever. I don't think. And that's just making an X. I hate to think what I'm getting myself into with this Queen Sampler thing.
What do you mean? How does she say to do it that you haven't been doing?
It's a whole thing about, she comes in. So I cross my X. So I go from lower left to upper right, lower right to upper left. And she does it the opposite way.
Oh, well, I do it both ways, depending on which direction I'm going or where I want that needle to end up.
Well, yeah, but your X's all need to be crossed the same.
They are.
Yeah.
But
and
that,
so,
that last cross, it whether I come up from the bottom
come
or...
Come up or left or, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I do that too. But she, like, does it, like, okay, so her top thread lays left to right rather than... So my top thread lays right to left. You see what I'm saying? So it's crossed. There's a whole thing on that. I think I was reading it quickly as I was putting it, because I printed it all. I have it, my book, you know, they don't sell the book anymore. It's on DVD. So, or yeah, DVD. So I got the DVD and I printed out the entire book.
Jeez, Bonna.
And I put it, cause I thought I need all the help I can get. And, I've just been kind of going through it as I put it in plastic sleeves in a three ring binder. And it's like, my goodness, how am I going to ever do this? And then I looked at the Montenegrin stitch and it's like, okay, I'm just reading Chinese on here. So I don't know. I hope I can do this.
You'll do it. You'll be right. So your top cross goes from lower left to upper right.
No, my top cross goes from lower right to upper left.
Yeah, okay. That's the same direction I use.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whether I come up at the lower right or come up at the upper left depends on where I need to end up for the next row.
Exactly. And that's, I don't do it like I don't do it like that either. I'm the same. I do the same thing as you do as well, depending on what my, as you know, you enlightened me on, I never thought about it except like maybe 3 months ago, was the stitch path. How my stitch path is determines where I'm going. So yes, I agree with, I do that. But I think, and then she has like, she talks about tension, I believe, on there. And, you know, so she has like a whole chapter on just like cross stitches. And I was, you know, I didn't like study it. I was quickly reading through it. And then I got to the, you know, it got to the cut work stuff. And I was reading that. And I was like, oh, and he wants me to start on this when we start on the queen stitch. I mean, on the queen sampler.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, I was reading that. And I was like, oh, holy smokes on that. And I'm going to have a, like a very large doodle cloth probably. And it'll probably be a masterpiece, the doodle cloth at the end of it with blood streaks and sweat stains and
tears. Don't forget tears. Yeah.
Yeah. Mascara, you know.
Oh, that'll be a nice touch.
Yeah. From wiping my tears. Yeah. It's going to be bad, I think.
Oh, but now it's become a facial cloth. Okay.
So I don't know. I'm kind of worried about it, but you say I can do this, so I'm going to do it.
You'll do it. It'll be fine. It'll be beautiful.
My friends and I were talking about it today as we stitched, and they don't really know about the Queen Sampler, really. That one of them has watched your video that you did with Linda a couple of times. And she said, couldn't believe all the stitches and what you're getting yourself into. And, you know, and I go, yeah. And I go, Gary keeps on telling me, oh, you can do it. Oh, it's possible. You are a very talented stitcher. And I go, oh, I know how to do is make an X. How does that make me a talented stitcher? I'm not. And she goes, you can do it. He'll help you. So she doesn't even know you, Gary. And she's saying you're going to help me. Uh-huh. So I hope so. I hope I can get her done.
You will.
I don't know what.
Well, and see, that's the thing that I started to say, and then is we're learning this. You know, it's not like we're sitting here two experts who can just rip through this thing. Yeah, we're learning as we go. So, because there have been several people who have said they're going to do it with us, and this is not a monthly stitch along thing. We're just going to do this, and we're going to work our way through it, and we're going to learn how to do these things, and like I've done some cut work, hardanger work, but not a lot. But I mean, I've done several, you know, enough that I'm comfortable with it. But Vonna, you haven't done
and
anything.
What has Vonna done? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I mean, this is just not going to be this mad race to get it done or anything. It's going to be a real. It's going to be a real learning experience for both of us. And you know, people who want to come along for the ride, you're more than welcome. You know, get your kits and get ready to go, because I don't know, a couple weeks, I suppose we should have everything so we can get started. I've got my linen. I know you're going to get probably the same threads I have and linen. We're doing it on 37 count corn tassel.
Corn tassel.
That's the linen. It's a 14 by 28.
From Access Comat. Isn't Access Commodities?
Is it?
Commodities? Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, yeah. So, Kim cut that out, serged it and everything. So, now I just got to get the wrinkles out.
Okay. Now, tell another thing I'd like for you to talk or tell them about, because I've had a couple of people email me about why are we choosing to start at the bottom?
Well, that's just me.
I'm starting at the bottom, too.
That's just me, because this is going to take a long time. And so, the white work is all at the bottom. And so I don't want all the other stitches. The more sophisticated stitches are in the upper half plus. I don't want those crushed by a scroll bar over a long period of time. I'd rather have the white work rolled up over a long period of time. That's just me.
Right.
To me, that made the most sense, was to do that, because that will take a crushing better than some of these other stitches. And then as we scroll up or whatever, I'm going to put it on scroll bars. As we scroll up, then the more raised dimensional stitches won't be crushed in a rolled up piece on a scroll bar. That's the only reason I have for doing that.
That's what I told them too. And they, and you know, I had one lady say, well, aren't you afraid that your bottom, because usually people, I guess, start from the top and go down, so that because of dirtiness or getting dirt on stitching and stuff, aren't you afraid of that? And I said, well, we stitch in the ditch, so
right,
no, we're not worried about that.
Yeah, because see, I'm a top left starter, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I do everything, top left. And unless a design, you know, the designer says, you know, if you don't start in the middle, you're going to be monkey meat somewhere along the way. You know,
right.
I start top left. So this is unusual for me to start at the bottom, but I just think that that's the only way. And we stitch in the ditch. And then when I'm stitching, even though I do stitch in the ditch too, I still put a cotton handkerchief over the bottom scroll as I'm stitching. So when I rest my hand on it, even though it's the back side of the linen, I'm still not resting it on the actual linen. So I'm ultra careful about that. So,
I guess I'm going to have to be ultra careful too now.
I mean, I forget sometimes, you know, but for the most part, yeah, I have two cotton handkerchiefs that my father-in-law had, because he was a handkerchief guy, you know. So we have several of them, and so I keep two of them downstairs, and that's what covers Sarah Brazier, you know, in between sessions. I put those over the top so that I don't have to do some big unveiling to, you know, to stitch again. They just lay over, they just lay over the top, and then one of them is folded up, and lays over that bottom scroll all the time that I'm stitching, just to keep anything off that linen. It's the way I do it. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I need to do that too for the queen, because I don't want any of my blood or sweat or tears to get on it.
No, yeah. Especially your blood. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want that on there. So
the tears, once they dry up, you can just kind of flick the salt off, but
yeah,
that'll be all right.
Collect it for the table maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, yeah, I mean, and if, you know, if some veteran out there or Linda Vincent says, no, big mistake, you should start at the top or something, you know, please scream. But
yeah, let us know.
Cause I'm all about learning that, but no, that to me, that's just the logical way to go with this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that even though I'm not relishing the idea of, you know, what do you do if you start on that, you do your doodle cloth, you think you have it, and then you start on your sampler and I like fudge the whole thing up, then what? And I'm just not at first, before I'm ready, you know, like even out of the starting gate, then what happens?
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be just fine. It's not that big a deal. Once you get, you know, that cut stuff, once you get it done, what is it? I mean, it doesn't even look, it's just a lot of open, but
there's that like crochet stuff in between or something, like the loopy strings or something in between.
Boy, that was a hell of a band, wasn't it? The Loopy Strings.
Yeah.
Oh man, I have both of their albums. They're really good. Yeah, that lead singer, boy, she was like a bird. Yeah, the Loopy Strings. Yeah.
Oh shoot. The Loopy Strings, that needs to be our new hashtag. Fiber Talk, Loopy Strings.
Yeah, there we go. Oh,
but you know what I mean. You know that, like, what it looks like, a net or something.
No, I think you're just wrapping. I think all you're doing is wrapping on that. No, the hardanger, once you get the holes made, you're just doing a lot of wrapping around threads. It's kind of boring at some point. I think that's, no, I'm not kidding you. It really is kind of mundane. Blah.
Well, see that Domine on whatever, that's like, how is that done?
I don't know. See, I haven't studied
We don't need to talk about it because I'm going to be doing it. But
yeah, because see, no, that middle, the bottom band, where is that? I don't think that's that big a deal. I really don't.
Okay. If you say it's not, then it's not. But it gives me a little heart palpitations every now and then when I look at it. I think, yeah, what did I let Gary Parr talk me into?
Yeah, no, you're just wrapping. You're just wrapping. You're cutting that. Yeah, here, I see it here. Yeah, you're cutting the threads, and then you have two strands of ground cloth, and you're just wrapping cloth around them. It's really boring.
Okay, and you think?
Oh
I
yeah,
can do and you, that?
Oh yeah, that's all that is. I'm seeing that here now. Yeah, you're just wrapping those threads. It's really boring, and then making those pieces in the like the little things that go across the holes that look like X's in that open thing. Yeah, those are just I forget what those are. Dove's eyes. Those are just dove's eyes. Yeah, and all you do is follow a path. You wrap the thing, and then you follow a path with the dove eyes, and they just come out. It's no big deal. It really. But the wrapping gets boring after a while. It's like, oh, geez, more of this? Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Well,
once you get it cut, it's fine.
Are we going to have like a kickoff party? Are we going to have a kickoff party to the Queen sampler or anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
We are?
Okay, sure.
Good. All right.
So anyway, I just, you know, people, in it's not follow us, you know, stitch it at your own. If you're going to do it with us, stitch it at your own thing. If you have some advice for us, happy to have it, believe me. But we're just going to plug away at it. But we are talking about doing some live YouTube or Facebook videos, one of, you know, split screen kind of thing. And we'll have Instagram posts and talk about it in these shows some, and we might even do some special podcasts to talk about it so people who don't care about the Queen Sampler don't have to listen to it.
Can skip over that.
Yeah. But, so it's we're just going to do a bunch of stuff, but we're just going to enjoy this thing and learn from it. And if you want to follow along and join us, hey, more the merrier. Yep.
Right. Like, it's on this – there's this lady on Instagram who's starting, like, a 30-day, I don't know, two-month cross-stitch challenge. And her hashtag that she's using, one of her hashtags, is hashtag community over competition. Isn't that beautiful? That spoke to me. And that's what you're saying. We're not doing this as a big competition. Who can be the best? We are doing that in Sarah Brazier. We are not doing that in the Queen Sampler.
Yeah, but that competition is almost over because I'm almost done. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I saw that.
It was beautiful. I did a nice job, didn't I?
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was beautiful. Yeah. And, you know, you're just like, it was just like almost magical that it happened so fast.
It's called talent. I can only hope mine looks as good as that one. Only hope.
Yeah, that was a beautiful. That was a beautiful sampler. They're all beautiful though. There's somebody on Instagram, Gary. I think she comments on your stuff. Holland House Gifts. She's just now putting in her satin stitches on Sarah.
Yeah.
She's got the whole thing stitched and she's going back and putting her satin stitches in.
Man,
she just posted something last night.
That's got to feel like hitting the home stretch in a horse race, doesn't it?
Huh? Boy, doesn't it? I mean, if I ever make it to that point, I want to like stand up and crow after I get like a full place stitching in. And I think, oh yeah, I'm right there. I'm going to get him. And then I look at yours and it's like, oh my gosh, I still have so much more to go. But yeah, no, hers is beautiful too. I mean, it's just the beauty of it is not translated in the photo on the, and how many times have we said things like that,
right?
But the beauty is not translated on the photo of the cover or even the large, extra large one, that the centerfold that's in the, it's just when I see people's samplers in their pictures and it's just like, oh gosh, it's so pretty.
It really is. It really is. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep. It's a special one, but boy, she's big.
Oh my word, she is a big one. Yes.
That's one big piece of linen.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, we talked everybody to sleep. We got to end it.
Okay.
That's it. Sunday. Now this is Sunday's show. Pat Goodson. And people are gonna go, "Who's Pat Goodson?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ran into Pat Goodson because Arlene and I talked about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a thing for Arlene, stitched a gift for Arlene, and we talked about her a little bit. Lives in Texas, and I had her in Irving, Texas when we recorded, but she doesn't live there. But she was, and this never comes out right. It never comes out right, but I can't come up with a better way of describing it. She's just a stitcher, okay?
Yeah.
She's just like you and me. We just stitch. Not a designer, and usually try to have designers on the shows or other people who are, notable in the hobby. So she's, she's a stitcher like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
But the little voice in my head said, you need to talk to this lady. You need to do a show with this lady.
Yeah.
And I one of the few times I listened to the little voice, and the little voice was right.
Really?
Just tremendous conversation with her. She's a professor at Texas A&M,
mm-hmm.
and a stitcher, and just what a blast talking to her. So one of the things that she is doing is stand-up stitching.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. And doing it regularly.
Oh.
So we talked about that and what that was like for her and the experience and how she's set up. And it's most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of everything else she does. So it was, it was one of those where I think I need to talk to her. I really do. I think I need to do a show. And by golly, It was really good. I was clapping when we got done. I was just applauding. Yes, good call. You know.
Yeah.
So that's Sunday. So Pat is that this coming Sunday. Really good. Really anxious for people to hear that. And let's see. Thanks to Sassy Jacks for sponsoring.
Yes.
20% off on Modern Folk Embroidery through the month of June.
Through
the month of June. FiberTalk, E-R or R-E, however you want to spell it, will work.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, when you spend your money, the hashtag FiberTalk made me buy it.
That's right.
Get you off the hook.
And community. That's right. It's yep. Free get out of jail card.
Yep. Get you right off the hook. And people, if you, when we enable you, Vaughn and I being master enablers, it really does help if you mention when you buy stuff that you heard about it on Fiber Talk. It really does help.
So, it does really help. So do that, people.
Fiber Talk made me buy it. Yep.
Yep. That's right.
That's it. We're done. Thanks.
Bye, guys.